Well, don't worry, I won't go real long. In fact, the Lord just kind of changed everything. But we want to give him permission to do that. Amen? And it's been kind of difficult coming back from Selma yesterday because, you know, when you're moving around a lot, you know, we got this, we're trying to move into this house, we took our little trailer down there, and when you have a lot of kids, your life is already pretty chaotic. Which I don't like chaos. I like things pretty orderly. My children will tell you. And so I really want to kind of tell you a couple of stories this morning before we go to the Lord's table. And we ask him to fill us again, to feed us the bread of life. And, but, wow, that's really magnifying. Am I okay? All right. But God really has been doing some things with me. When we left Selma yesterday, it was kind of like, you know how when you've been traveling and you kind of have to leave at the last minute and you just throw all of your luggage in your bag, you just stuff it in there, dirty clothes, clean clothes, it really didn't matter, and you know you're going to deal with it later. That's kind of how my mind feels right now. There was so much going on there. God, the Holy Spirit was moving in a powerful way. And so I got this bag full of stuff that I'm trying to sort out. Now, my heart's probably dealt with it better than my mind, but I'm one of those people that kind of, you know, lives up here. I think that's one of the things about going to seminary. We're kind of really taught, you know, doctrine and understanding of Scripture, and sometimes that can kind of hold us back. But Tuesday night, the Lord gave me a very clear, he gave me a vision, and actually, while the kids were praying over Ron, he showed me that vision again. And so, Ron, this word is for you also. The Lord showed me, and I was in the Navy for 20 years, and so this might not really be an Alabama thing. Has everybody seen barnacles? You know what barnacles are? Yeah, so if you go to the ocean and they get on ships, they get on piers, and they're nasty things. They're one of the things you have to deal with. They're sharp. They're really crusty. The only way to get them off is to physically scrape them, and it's really nasty business because they stink. And the Lord showed me that he is scraping barnacles off of me. But there are things that he wants to change. There are things that he wants to do in my life and in my heart. He wants to grow my faith, but these barnacles have to go. They're holding me back, this crusty stuff, and it's not always comfortable. And it doesn't always look really nice or maybe even smell really nice. And so I'm coming to terms with that. In the gospel this morning, Jairus, this synagogue ruler, seeks out Jesus. He has a need. He loves his daughter who is desperately ill. And I don't know that we can fully comprehend or understand the risks that Jairus took in doing that. Jairus was a synagogue ruler. He was like on the bishop's council, we might say. And he had a certain way, as the synagogue rulers did, of how God could work and not work. But in his desperation, he seeks out Jesus. Now, I don't know what he knew about Jesus, but he believes, the gospel tells us, that Jesus could heal his daughter. And so he seeks him out. He's willing to risk everything. He's willing to have some of those barnacles of sameness scraped off of him, all of the things that he's been told are right and wrong, and I'm sure I can imagine the things that were going on around the synagogue concerning Jesus. We know some of them, right? Endlessly, they would come before him to try and trip him up and so forth. And so you can imagine the talk, the gossip, as it were, that was going on about this Jesus. But Jairus knows he needs God to move in his life. And he wasn't experiencing it where he was. And he knew this Jesus had the answer. And Elise said a word when she was kind of sharing her testimony, the word normal. One of the things that the bishop said, because when the first time I came down to Selma during the Lenten retreat, the bishop was talking about this word revival, and that brought up some real pictures in my mind, some of the historic revivals that have gone on in our country and throughout the world. And I thought of these events, these singular events where people flood in and sometimes travel for months and over a period of time. But the sad thing is they never seem to last, do they? I mean, people are healed, people's lives are changed, but there never seems to be this ongoing revival. The bishop shared with us the idea, and he shared it again this last week, that revival is really a restoration to the normal life of the church. To the normal life of the church. And the book of Acts, as he says, is our manual. And so I've been kind of spending some time in the book of Acts and seeing what was the church like in the book of Acts. And today being Foundation Day, actually, if we had read all of the scriptures, they were a lot about money, weren't they? About what I like to call our stuff. And God wants to do something in every area of our life. He wants us to come like Jairus, believing that Jesus really is the way and the truth and the life. That He truly is all that we need, all that we should desire, all that we should seek after. And in Him is healing. In Him is provision for all that we need. Now that provision, I think, looks different to us than what we're used to. Certainly than what the world around us says that provision is. Sadly, the world around us tells us that provision should be a bigger house and a nicer car and more stuff. And even more sadly, the church today has bought into that lie. Just this last week on the radio, I heard some very famous televangelist explaining to the news why he needed a new $65 million airplane to bring the gospel. The prosperity gospel has really flooded our nation because, you see, it fits in with this endless advertisement and need for stuff, more and better. But God's provisions are eternal. Jesus gives us the things that we need to have life and to have it to the full. In the book of Acts, right after the church is birthed in chapter 2, we read what the church was about. Did they go out and preach the prosperity gospel? Were people getting everything that they wanted? No. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, into breaking bread, into prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, like the awe we just saw this morning. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles, and all of the believers were together and had everything in common, even selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone who had a need. And so I want to share three very quick words that the Lord gave to me. The first one is, be content. Be content. God loves you and gives you everything you need. And it's only from a content heart that we can give thanks. Because otherwise, we're always just asking for more. I like Bishop, when we were at the Lenten retreat, Bishop Jones gave this picture of, and for those of us that have children, the Father wants us to seek His face. The problem is most of the time we just want to seek His hands. We just want Him to provide for us, to give us the things that we ask. But He desires this close, wonderful relationship, this life-changing, life-giving relationship. The second thing, walk by faith. The early church, the normal church, lived day by faith. Do you notice that? They gave to one another. Whatever it is that was needed within the church took care of itself. In good times and bad, Paul has said, I've learned what it means to be content in both want and plenty. And you notice how Paul said that he learned. It wasn't something that just happened one day. He had to actually walk in that contentment. He had to realize each and every day that God would take care of him. And the final thing is, live generously. Now, please don't think this is mine, because I'm really not that rich, and this isn't actually that much money. But I want to close with this story and what God was doing in my heart. Jennifer emailed me a couple of days ago and said, can you preach on Sunday? And I said, sure. And I knew it was Foundation Day, but I hadn't really thought about it that much. And I'm like, oh, great. Father Terry wants me to preach about money, which most of my life, I could be like a poster child for Dave Ramsey. You know who Dave Ramsey is. I've pretty much done everything wrong at one time or another. And so it's amazing because the very next day, my son said to me, Noah, said to me, Dad, you're going down to Birmingham, right? I said, yeah. He said, Dad, could you bring my tithe for me? And I said, okay. Because one of the things about Noah, he got a job the beginning of the summer. You know, he bags groceries at the commissary for tips, and that's all they get. They get tips every day, and some days are really good, some days are not so good. And Noah is kind of like me. He can be a little bit forgetful, but he understands the idea of duty. And so he said to me, Dad, you know, I've been forgetting to bring tithes to the church, but I have it in an envelope. And can I give it to you to take to the church in Birmingham? And I was like, sure, absolutely. I walked in my room 10 minutes later, and on my desk was this stack of bills. So I don't know how long he hasn't tithed for. But praise God, he's been putting in an envelope. And the issue was, I began to have this pride well up in me. Oh, at least I've done something right. At least my children understand what it means to tithe. And the Lord gently said to me, I have so much more for you. And so much more for him. And he gave me a scripture verse, John 15:15, in which Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. You see, one of the problems that Noah has is, like his dad, he's really good at keeping kind of the jot and tittle of the law, right? And so the tithe is that 10%. And so each day he would get his pay and he would count out that 10%. And he did it out of a sense of duty. And I know exactly what that's like. But I believe that God is saying to me, and he's saying to us, I want you to give to me like I'm your best friend, because I really am. I love you so much. I want you to give to me from a generous heart, not simply because you believe that is your duty. I mean, let's face it, sometimes we simply walk out of duty, don't we? And that's not a bad thing. But God is looking to take us individually and as a church from glory to glory. To restore in us what normal Christianity should look like. And it's not big buildings. It's not all the stuff we want. But it's everything we need and everything that we could hope for. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for what you're doing in this church and in our lives and this youth. And I pray, Lord, that it would spread, that it would become infectious. That we would be like Jairus, willing to lay down whatever it is that's holding us back from trusting you fully, from living fully in the faith that you've given us. that you would truly be the desire of our heart. For we are the desire of yours. I thank you for each and every person in this church. I thank you for their warm welcome, for their love. I thank you for the sense of community here. But Lord, I sense you're only beginning. And sometimes it's going to feel a little uncomfortable. Sometimes it's going to be like removing barnacles. But we say, come, Holy Spirit. Have your way in us. Pour out your Spirit upon us that we would be normal Christians.